because we must be producing candy of some sort.
Exactly. WP candy.
That only makes sense.
Wonder what WP candy would look like.
I wonder what the WP part of it would contribute. You know, wintergreen peppermint?
White
power. Wintergreen peppermint? What? You're just... Oh, racist jokes are funny. Welcome to the third episode of the WP Candy WordPress podcast, the official podcast of WPCandy.com. I'm Ryan Immel, and joining me today is JD Bentley, WordPress blogger, news editor for WP Candy. Hello, JD.
Hey, I'm glad you said hello, because I usually don't know when to say something.
Yeah, so that's good. I'll have to add that into the initial script for the beginning.
Makes it
say
less awkward.
Say hello. Yeah, yeah. Even though we've been talking for a few minutes already, jumping into and saying, okay, how do we officially start is always a little weird.
Yeah, knowing somebody's going to hear it now makes me more cautious.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least, more conscious of what's happening. So, a bunch of stuff to talk about. Lots of WordPress news happened in the past week or so. Ashley can't be with us this week, but she'll be back next week. I guess she is off doing much more enjoyable and fun things than a WordPress podcast. before we get into it, I mean, what's new with you, JD? Anything exciting happening on your side of the world?
I guess kind of, yeah. With my personal site, jdbentley.com, I've been playing around with little projects. The last one I made is called Too Bad Eye, which...
That's too bad, the letter i.com, so not the...
Yeah, well, the .com doesn't work yet.
Right, sorry, but the letter I and not the physical I. Yeah.
The physical I?
Like too bad, E-Y-E, like too bad I. Like maybe you had started a band or something, I don't know.
the only way that would apply.
Yeah, you never know, people don't know.
I think they might have gotten the context. Too bad I. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
probably.
It sounds like a band. Well, I'm not in a band.
Okay.
It's just two T-O-O, bad I, which is just a thing I was playing around with to get people to answer or to finish the sentence, too bad I, blank. And then they just share regrets. So it's fun to see the kind of stuff that comes in from that. That's mainly what I've been doing. What about you?
No, I just wanted to say it's a cool kind of project. It'll be interesting to see whether it really kind of takes off. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. It kind of runs in the vein of like the Post Secret kind of anonymous sort of self-confessing blogs or memes that sort of people kind of latch onto sometimes. So it could be huge. You know, this could be the beginning.
Yeah,
of
I hope it's
awesome.
Huge. I'm not actually going to say that I think it'll be huge. Huge, but
yeah. Well, but it's fun. It's a cool. It's if nothing else, it's a cool.
It's
side
nice
project.
To have something that produces content for me
mm-hmm.
instead of having to sit down and write.
Yeah, so this is actually so on the WordPress side of things. You built this using WordPress, like just onto your site. It's a page on your site.
Yeah.
And
I made a custom page template for it, and it's just it uses Gravity Forms, which lets you lets a user's input be used for an actual post on the site. So that's all I did with that. Then I pulled in I made sure they all were sent to a special category, and then I pulled in that category on the page template. So it looks like its own little web app, but it's just WordPress.
Yeah. That's cool. Very cool. It's exciting to see what, like you said, what kind of apps can be created just with simple WordPress elements, you know, pulling them together. Cool. Well, me, I am looking for my third or fourth leg at this point. I've been going for a number of hours and working a lot of stuff and getting some reviews together for WPCandy.com. And I'm feeling it now, kind of into the rhythm, you know, of the podcast. So
yeah,
all is well. All is well.
I feel like it's less awkward now.
Now that we've sort of kind of we've kind of waded into the water a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about sounding stupid. So
that's a shame. That's
Should I?
Sometimes that fear is healthy, but you know, whatever you feel like, that's fine.
Okay.
Actually, one second. I'm gonna grab my coffee. It's done brewing.
Okay.
Entertain them for a moment.
I really hope you'll cut this out, because I don't know. I don't have anything to say.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, you're gonna have to cut that.
Yeah, probably. So, it's very exciting because it's like a vanilla. It's like some vanilla bean blend that I don't normally do. I usually stick to basic coffee blends, and so this is exciting and it's necessary right now because I'm kind of on kind of my last leg. So.
Yeah, I've always wanted to be a coffee person, but I don't like coffee where it's so. It's so much not, like, it's so not coffee anymore that I might as well say I like something else.
Like, because you put too much milk and creamer and stuff in it, or what?
Yeah, it's like tons of sugar. Like, it's not even coffee anymore. I might as well just get a Frappuccino.
Yeah. Yeah, would you like some coffee with your sugar kind of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I can't do black coffee. To me, it's just really strong and bitter.
You're dead to me.
I'm very weak when it comes to coffee, I guess.
Gotcha. No, I can't, and I'm the exact opposite. I can't put anything in it, mainly because I don't think I have I don't have that cooking instinct, you know, I think, or the mixing instinct of like saying, okay, this amount will make it perfect, and I think I'll either overdo it or underdo it, and I'm like, this isn't right. Somebody else should do this for me. And
it doesn't stop
me.
So
I just say, screw it.
I always mess it up. No matter what, there's always too much sugar.
Nice.
But then, I don't know. I don't know if there is a perfect. Maybe it's just bitter or ruined. So.
Yeah, so maybe coffee's not your game.
It's not, and neither's tea or wine.
Yeah, well, I understand you on tea. Screw tea. That's no good.
Yeah, actually, I actually have a bottle of tea right here. But it's like I said, it's so fake, it's not even tea.
It's like soda tea.
Yeah, green tea mixed berry, where it tastes like fruit punch with a hint of tea.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I guess I'll never be cool with coffee or classy with tea.
No.
I'll just have to stick with Coke Zero.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with WordPress.
Not at all. Not at all. But but still, ultimately, very important.
Yeah. I guess,
so, just wrapped up. So this is Tuesday's podcast. Tuesday, what is it today? The 7th, I think, September 7th.
Yes.
And should be, by the time you hear this, my review of the Startbox theme framework should be up on the site, which I wrapped up yesterday. And I'll just say that reviewing theme frameworks is very difficult. Compared to, I don't know what non-theme frameworks, I guess maybe one-off themes or average themes. I'm not sure what the right word would be for non-theme frameworks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very difficult because you really can't. I don't know. And this is maybe stepping onto the review a little bit, but it doesn't feel like you can really review properly a theme framework until you've maybe built a few websites on it to really see how it kind of stands through those tests. And I did not take the time to build websites on top of it. That would have been a little bit more involved than I'm willing to go right now for a review.
Yeah.
But that's up on the site and it's cool. Starbucks is good. You should probably get it.
Yeah.
It sounds you out so there, much not, like not you necessarily.
Are you, them, the people listening, right?
Them, the plebeians.
Yeah. Listening. Every time Every time you say it, it sounds like Starbucks.
Every time I say what? Oh, I know. I was doing that because
I was watching the demo video.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, it sounds like he's saying Starbucks.
I know, because you say Starbucks,
but yeah,
and then you say Startbox.
Yeah.
And if you start to say Startbox really fast, Startbox, it starts to sound like Starbucks again.
Yeah.
Which is maybe a genius marketing move.
Yeah, for people who need to spend late nights coding themes.
Hey, I think it could be subconsciously affecting all of us right now.
Probably. But yeah, I can't imagine it would be easy to review a theme framework without building, because they're all basically the same. Because I mean they all look boring and do cool stuff. So
yeah, the framework itself shouldn't be, or usually typically isn't that exciting of a theme itself, but more so what you can do kind of under the hood is what kind of is where it shines.
Yeah. So I don't know. But then like it's like you said, you use your own theme framework, so it's like, how can you, for me, it's really hard to imagine using somebody else's framework.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've tried, I tried Thematic, that did not go well.
Yeah.
And I have Headway, which, I mean, that's, I'm not even sure you really make a theme with that. You just kind of move things around and change mm-hmm. colors.
Yep.
It's like it's all inside the theme. So
right.
My favorite's still Starkers. I don't even think that's really a theme framework, but that's the best start for me, to have nothing. Like all mm-hmm. the content there, but no style.
Yeah, I started with the first theme that I ever would use as to kind of start a project with was always Sandbox.
Yeah.
And I think that's – I think at some point or another, everybody working on theme frameworks and starter themes today at some point worked with Sandbox. I think it's kind of the origin at some point. You know, it crossed paths with all of these guys. But yeah, those really are two different things, having a starter theme versus having a theme framework. You know, it's kind of
– yeah, I guess that's what it would be, a starter theme.
Because it's approaching the same ideal, just from different directions.
Yeah. When I started, like, I never messed with Sandbox, just because I don't tend to mess with things that look awful. And I think it looks awful, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sandbox isn't – I mean, it's not meant to be pretty.
Yeah,
to look
so
at.
I used – I think the first one I based anything on was that – the old default one.
Mm.
Kubrick? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the first one I did anything with, because, I mean, it didn't look great, but it looked infinitely better than – Sandbox mm-hmm. or what's the other one? It was like the first WordPress theme.
Oh yeah,
Default or something. No, it's not Default, because that's what they'd call the new one. No, the new one's 2010.
New one's 2010. The old Default is Kubrick, and it's not coming to me. I think the folder name for that theme is Default, but I think it's typically never activated anymore. I don't think it's in the main WordPress package anymore. I think that's been removed. Classic is what they called it.
Classic, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it had some default sounding name.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I really think, like, I'm kind of interested now in putting together something. I don't know whether it'll be another interview series or some sort of a feature, or, you know, video blogging, or what it'll take to sort of get at how these different framework developers, I think, have the same ideals in mind, but are approaching from different angles, you know, sort of all coming at it from different places. And really at that, you know, I mean, the ultimate, I guess, thing to say about Startbox and all of these theme frameworks is you just have to go with the one that makes the most sense to you. You know, I think there are objective claims to whether a theme, even a theme framework, is good or not. And I can say Startbox is a good theme framework. And I think there are probably bad ones. You know, I don't have any, you know, in mind to name off. But at a certain point, you just have to start using whatever seems to click the easiest with your mind. And other things like support and history and things can come into it too. But it's definitely a different sort of decision than picking just a theme to use, you know, a design theme, a one-off theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, enough of that. What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about WordPress and Elance.
Alrighty.
Because that is something you like. I write all kinds of these news stories, and usually the news mm-hmm. doesn't get any response whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I write about Elance one time, and there's three comments, which like I've never. I don't think a news story's gotten one comment.
Yeah,
and then
news tends to be somewhat passive right now. It's kind of interesting.
Which, I mean, I think that's the way it should be. Have you like? Sure. I would go to CNN and see like some serious story, and then there's somebody in the comments being like, "Well, it's the blacks. It's because the blacks." So that like I kind of
at least
like,
we can avoid the racism with WordPress news. That's a plus.
Yeah. No. So I don't know. Like I wrote a story about Elance, and I want the three people who commented to know that I probably wouldn't recommend Elance if you right. seriously want to be a WordPress theme designer or a WordPress expert, as the article says. Yeah, yeah. They've made a lot of money, but a lot of people, I don't know. Well, a lot of people don't make a lot, but there's also lots of really low quality WordPress people on Elance. And I can't believe I just said that. If you're on Elance, and you do so, WordPress stuff. I'm not saying you're awful. I'm just saying a majority is awful.
Yeah, the unwashed masses. So the story was if I remember right, the Elance reported that WordPress demand for WordPress experts was up. Was it last quarter or this year compared to previous? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Elance is a place, just for those who don't know, a place to find jobs. Usually around like web and design work, or is it all sorts of stuff online?
It's everything. Like they have like administrative stuff and writing, and I think they have manufacturing stuff, maybe, or I might be thinking of some other site. So
really, it's all over the place.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've only ever been in the. Well, I used to be. I was in web and design. I think they keep them separate for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So. I have used Elance. That was the first place I got a WordPress job, mm-hmm. and I did not know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I would say that most of these quote-unquote WordPress experts on Elance are sort of in the same boat. They're just sure. starting out, and they don't know any better.
But, you know, so two things there. Well, I guess maybe just one thing. I think it's good that places like Elance exist for that very reason, because everybody has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's with WordPress or actually freelancing with WordPress, everybody has a first project or a first job. And unless you have one of these places where maybe, yeah, I mean, Elance is probably not the place you're going to go to get the best rates for your work. I mean, that's probably a definite.
Unless you're, what's his name?
Unless you're a top dog of some sort.
The guy from the article, he was,
the one who had made a ton of money there.
Yeah, I can't find it now, but he was like the only one featured
mm-hmm.
in the WordPress, or not WordPress, in the Elance report. Here he is, Ron Z, WordPress expert. He's made over $170,000, so
mm-hmm.
if you're getting screwed over on Elance, it's your fault. Ron
yeah, or his
that.
Fault. His fault. Yeah.
Yeah, his fault. He takes all the jobs
mm-hmm.
that anybody's posted in the last 2 years. And it says his perfect office mate is his cat. So
how can you really get upset with somebody like that?
All he has is a cat.
And $170,000.
Yeah, to spend on his cat.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, I think, I mean, places like this, if you really dial it down, you know, if you look at how much money has been dealt out to the freelancers and how many freelancers in general there were, you know, on average, it's not going to come out to a very high amount per developer. But that's never how it works out. Probably, you know, more people than not are making just a few dollars here and there.
Yeah.
And there's probably, you know, sort of a lower, middle, and upper sort of class system within that and all of these job boards. There are tons of job boards out there to find jobs like this. It's just cool that WordPress is on the rise.
Yes. People
That's
want
the
to,
news.
People want to underpay you to do stuff with WordPress.
To do stuff with anything.
Okay, yeah, that's the purpose of Elance.
Yeah.
So people who have plenty of money to... Well, not plenty of money. Well, they have plenty of money, but they don't want to spend it. That's Elance.
Wow, maybe we need to... Maybe they should be advertising at this point. I think that's a great sound clip. People with lots of money that don't want to give it to you at Elance.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And it used to be, like, when I started on it, it was 2007. After that, I got underbid by all kinds of people in other countries. Not that there's any problem with that, but
right. It's,
like, impossible for me now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think there's definitely a point as developers, as professionals, where it's time to move on, maybe to another job board that's, you know, better suited to, you know, your skills and maybe the level that you're at, or to some other system in general. You know, maybe it's just through something else, either through a blog or maybe through referrals or something like that.
Or you could give up altogether and become a news editor.
You could do that too. That works. Probably not for everybody, but it'll work for some.
Worked for me.
WordPress 3.1 is coming.
Yes, and that's sort of awesome. It's kind of, I guess it's minor, but still new features, which is what I was excited about.
Yeah, it's the next point release. The last one was 3.0, a full, I guess, quarter cycle ago, because there was sort of a break for a little bit working on sort of the 3.org project, a bunch of kind of small things here and there around the community that the core team wanted to work on that wasn't WordPress. So now we're back into the flow of feature releases, and I think you wrote this story too.
Yeah. So I was happy just to see that there are new features, because with something like 3.1, I expect them to be cleaning up stuff from 3.0. So that there are any new features makes me happy. And they're actually, to me, like, I know they say they're minor, but only minor because it doesn't take them long to implement these features. Yeah. They're actually, for me at least, they're actually pretty major, like internal linking, which that's something I didn't even think about before I read the release, but it makes so much sense. And if you're wondering why I didn't think about it, I don't use other CMS things. So,
yeah,
but, just internal linking, I guess, is a way to add links to your site. And I think they're going to make it in a similar way that you can add external links, except now I read they were talking about doing a tab for internal links where you can browse by category or do searches on old content that you want to link to, which sounds like a really useful feature, because I know I've done it before and I'd have to go back and, like, actually use the search on my site and that kind of thing. And then Ajaxified admin screens, which I think, let's see, it says will enable sorting on most columns and Ajaxify sorting, searching, and pagination. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a nice thing that you probably won't notice, that's a good thing. Like,
yeah, speed up doing different tasks like that.
Yeah, it's like one of those cases where it makes the design less, what's the word? I can't think of the word. It's
like it kind of falls into the background more and lets the content stuff float to the top.
Is it obtrusive? Less obtrusive?
Sure.
Is that a word?
It's a word. Obtrusive? Yeah.
Great.
It is now. I mean, we said it.
Obtrusive. So. Noticeable or prominent in an unwelcome or intrusive way. Good. That's exactly what I meant. It's less...
There you go.
I forgot the word. Obtrusive. Okay. So, and then the one that I'm excited about, I don't think it has any benefit for me because I don't run multiple sites, but they're doing an administration bar, an admin bar, like WordPress.com. And the only reason I'm excited, like, as a single install user, is because Matt said it's that this bar is the first step toward a front-end editor. which mm-hmm. I'm excited about. Assuming front end means what I think it means.
Yeah, and that could mean a few different things.
Could it mean,
whether
does
that's
it mean,
content editing or something else. Probably content editing initially.
Yeah, I hope content editing. Because something that bothers me is that I can't write on the back end in the style of the front end. And I don't know, there might be a plug-in for that or something. But
I think if you add to your theme an editor style.css, and this is something that I should write up on WP Candy this week, because it's a simple thing, but it's pretty cool. An editor style CSS, and then you have to add a line to your functions file to pull that in, that allows you to style the WYSIWYG editor, and you can basically just carry over all your typography styles and kind of make it match.
I'm dying to do that. I hate seeing it. Because a problem with mine is sometimes it looks really great in the back end because it's got like a different width and a different font size and that kind of thing. And I put it on the front end, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to fix that. Not a problem mm-hmm. if you're not making your own theme, but a problem for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I think, I mean, there were more features for 3.1, but I really just wrote about the ones I cared about.
Sure.
I guess most of the others were cleaning up user interface stuff and that kind of thing. Or I didn't write about some just because I didn't really get what they were trying to do. So,
mm-hmm. No, I think that's good. I mean, we'll know more. I think in a couple days on the 9th, when everything is finalized for what's going to go in, and we'll probably do another recap then for what actually is going to get in. Because right now these are all just sort of. You know, it's on the plan. It's on a list, but until it's actually, you know, slated that this is what's going to happen and here's when, you know, you can never know for sure.
Yeah.
Depending on how the internal linking is implemented, that's probably what I'm most interested in. Mainly because, and this kind of segues into another thing that happened this week, or really just in the past couple of days. I've been doing a lot of exporting and importing of WordPress content into other sites. The first was WP Candy itself, moved it over to a new host and actually redid the URL structure for everything, for all the content, which is usually not suggested. It's not recommended because there's a lot of work to kind of cover your bases when you do something like that. Which I definitely suffered the consequences for. And then the same thing happened this week, brought in Theme Playground, my old WordPress blog, into WP Candy, and had to deal with a lot of getting old links to work and making sure everything matched up and, linking in between things. And this idea of internal linking, again, depending on how it's implemented, the idea that you could almost have sort of a link that's always going to work, you know, no matter what happens or where your stuff is moved. That's kind of cool. I like that idea.
I was just thinking, talking about Theme Playground. So you've moved Theme Playground over to WP Candy, and now Theme Playground isn't really anything. Or it's like it's – is it still there?
Right. No, yeah. If you go to Theme Playground, it's going to take you to WP Candy. It's a part of it.
Okay, so – the thing that you were showing me before the podcast, that mm-hmm. would be a perfect name for it. And I don't know if you want to talk about it, but that would be a perfect name.
At this point, it's sort of, well, I guess it'd be Project X 4 or 5. I've got a bunch of sort of Project X's going on around WP Candy that I'm excited to kind of launch. But Theme Playground, I mean, it's I've always liked it. It was actually, I can't take credit for it. It was Corey Miller of iThemes who, you know, kind of way back when I launched it, kind of gave me the, I forget which one of us came up with the name, but he was definitely a part of, you know, the creation of that blog. I think back in 2007 was when I started it.
Yeah.
And, I like the name. The tough part is there's just so many links out there and links that are coming in that know theme and expect Theme Playground to be a certain thing that I don't necessarily want to kind of rebranded as anything else right now.
Yeah. What about did you ever decide on the theme? Like if you were going to try to release that?
Yeah, there were three or four themes that I used for Theme Playground, and there's a post up on WPCandy.com right now that kind of talks about moving Theme Playground in and shows a picture or shows a screenshot of what Theme Playground looked like. And for those people that are like, oh, I don't know, maybe I went to it before, I don't really remember, that should help kind of jog your memory. Yeah, maybe I will. I haven't really set aside any time yet to go through and kind of, you know, make all the changes and kind of chop it up in such a way that it would actually be useful to other people.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Yeah, well, and I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah, we did.
With Moldwake's themes.
We were talking about how once you cut it up to make it useful for other people, it's way less cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so, like, everything has to be so generic.
Right.
That,
yeah, you can't have...
Like, when you try to make it good for everything, it's... I would almost say it's good for nothing.
Mm, yeah. Too general is not always good, which is probably one of the biggest things that holds me back from saying, yeah, I want to, you know, take these old designs of mine and kind of turn into something else. You know, it's probably equal parts. I don't really know that I could make it generalized in a way that I would myself want to use. And if I don't want to use it, then I don't want to make it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's also probably equal parts that, well, I don't really know if I want to see other sites out there that look like my old site. I think that'd be kind of weird. But that's probably the sillier of the two reasons. But,
yeah,
you know, that's probably a part of it.
Yep.
But, yeah, so probably another... tutorial worth writing is kind of how to go about the process of pulling another WordPress site's content into your own. Because, you know, just like there are a little over 200 posts on Theme Playground, to join, WP Candy, and, you know, had to go through and make sure that, you know, all of the incoming links, like I said, from all the different places that have linked to different Theme Playground content, over the years are going to eventually land in the correct place on WP Candy, which seems to be the case. There were a few issues, which I'll mention later on when we get into the picks. There were a couple issues with some images kind of doing some berserk things, and I'll get back to that when we get into the picks. But overall, a pretty decent process, even though it probably took, I don't know, it took between 5 and 10 hours to do the whole move over, which is kind of a pain.
Wow.
Don't want to lose any of that stuff. Yeah, well, I guess probably the biggest news of last week, part of, you know, I guess one of the downsides to doing a podcast towards the beginning of the week, last week's big news, probably the biggest news, was StudioPress merging into CopyBlogger Media.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, it's I guess for it to be a big thing, you have to be pretty geeky, but for me it was kind of a big thing.
I think we're all it. Not well, obviously we are, but if you've subscribed on iTunes and are listening to a podcast about WordPress, a blogging platform, you're probably geeky enough to care about something like this.
That's true. So I'm not going to justify myself anymore.
Nope, you have no excuses.
So anyway, I thought it was interesting because just because of the politics behind it and the story up until that point with CopyBlogger and Thesis and all that, and then to go mm-hmm. with StudioPress.
Right. So let me make sure I get this straight, because it is a little bit, you know, you just mix up a word and you can get it completely wrong. Two Brians now. Brian Gardner of StudioPress, he's the CEO of the WordPress theme company StudioPress, out of Chicago, and he's had this. He was originally behind Revolution Theme some years ago, probably around 2007, 2008. I remember writing about it when I was starting up Theme Playground. Now has a, you know, 5, 6, 7 person company that is merged into. So the other what's the other Brian's last name? That's terrible.
Clark.
I forget. Brian Clark. Yeah, of CopyBlogger. Now CopyBlogger Media, is CopyBlogger Media a new thing, or was that the parent? Sort of, or was that sort of the business name of his CopyBlogger endeavors?
I'm not sure.
I actually don't know. I think it might be a new thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, something worth probably us digging into, but and there are a number of kind of components that make up now CopyBlogger Media. One of them, StudioPress. I know Scribe is another one of them, which you know, is definitely deserving of a review on our site. Just need to get to it. Sort of an SEO plugin. What else is a part of it? I think Third Tribe, which is another Brian Clark project.
Is that part of it? I'm not sure.
I remember reading it. I thought I remembered reading in the Studio Press announcement it was. I will check because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, I think I read it, and the way it was worded, it sounded like it, but not really. Senior editor of Copyblogger and co-founder of Third Tribe with Brian Chris Brogan. And I'm not going to try to say these names. I don't want to sound stupid. But anyway, it sounds like it's just describing one person and who they've worked with. I'm not sure that it's part of it. But it might be. So.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're right. Third Tribe may not be, but Scribe definitely is.
And Premise is a new one. Conversion optimization. But I guess it's not out yet.
Yeah, Premise is not available yet, which you can see the kind of the teaser for at getpremise.com.
And I'm curious about the other teaser, and then there's the big thing we're all working on. Sorry, but no hints on that.
Yeah.
I wonder what that is.
Yeah, who knows? It's definitely big news. I mean, like you said, not only because it's a few kind of different but, you know, arguably related, obviously somewhat related projects coming together as far as Copyblogger with sort of content generation, Genesis, and Studio Press with sort of what to do with those, that content, how to put it online, and Scribe with maybe how to optimize it. Who knows exactly what Premise is, I'm guessing, with conversion optimization. It maybe has to do more with mailing lists or membership stuff. I mean, it's hard to really speculate. It's kind of a vague way to refer to it. But
have they added anything to the site? No.
No, there's nothing at Premise yet.
Yep.
So definitely open to, I guess, guesses. We need to put up some sort of a bidding board to guess what it could be. But the really interesting part about all of this is that Brian Clark only recently, we reported on it. It was only a couple weeks ago, did this happen before the relaunch? I think we covered
it. You covered it, but it was the story right before the relaunch.
Yeah. It was like in the week, in sort of the half week before when we were starting to post, but it was still kind of getting into the groove when Brian Clark and Chris Pearson split ways at DIY Themes. So now Chris Pearson runs sort of Thesis Theme and DIY Themes on his own. And Brian Clark, at the time, we just kind of all assumed he was, off to other projects, didn't assume that he would so quickly, be jumping in with Studio Press like this. So definitely a big event.
Looking back on it, we really should have known, based on that interview, where he's talking about, like, personally, we're not using Thesis for any of our projects now. Like, they had a replacement.
Yeah. Well, I think he even said that they used Studio Press was what was being used, I think, for Copyblogger.
Well, then,
not Studio Press, Genesis at the time.
If that's the case, then we really should have guessed.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Should have. But no, I think this is the first non, I guess, the first merger of companies that aren't exclusive to Themes. That these are sort of businesses and ideas coming together to form a larger company where WordPress themes only play a component, whereas it's not like two theme companies coming together to form a larger theme company. It's sort of all of these joining together to sort of
even
a larger
at that,
concept.
It's more than WordPress even. Like not just more than WordPress themes, more than WordPress. They were talking about doing live events and online education stuff, which I'm interested in that because there's like no details on that.
Yeah, and that's something that Tony Clark of Teaching Sells and Third Tribe knows a lot about. I mean, that's what they do with those projects.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to watch and see where this happens, to see what happens with Premise and to see what's going to come with the new big thing that they're all working on together.
Yeah.
Who knows? And I think that just about does it for news. Or at least notable discussion-worthy news. New this week, so we have a podcast mailbag. Maybe we need to mention it earlier on the show, but if you'd like to pose a question or a topic worth discussing, or have something you don't like about what we're doing, which is completely possible, you can email podcast@wpcandy.com, and we'll get that and either include it or not include it on the podcast. We actually, this is exciting. This is the first week that we've actually had someone email to podcast@wpcandy, and I'm excited to pull it. Let me pull it up here. And this is great. First, like, real mailbag segment.
I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, well, you'll hear it and you'll say, well, you know what, that makes total sense. I can't blame them for getting in touch. It's an email to us. It says, we can produce and provide quality tin box can and packaging for your candy with competitive prices. They have 18 years experience in tin making.
Tin making.
They can make they're producing this out of Guangzhou, China, and apparently we can get in on it quick and for the cheap. So this whole WordPress thing, I guess we're going to pack up and go home because our true calling here, candy manufacturing,
perfect,
I think is really where we can go with
that. That was a very relevant email.
I think so.
Really glad they got in touch. It does make sense.
It makes total sense. I can't blame them for that. I wonder what they would have thought. And obviously, I mean, it's spam, but it's spam that showed up because of, you know, candy being in the name.
It's sort of relevant spam.
No, yeah. It's, I mean, as far as spam goes, it's pretty on the money. I mean, whoever paid for that spam to go out really got their money's worth, because for as far as anybody could have told, anybody could tell in that situation, that's the perfect spam to send us, because we must be producing candy of some sort.
Exactly. WP candy.
That only makes sense.
Wonder what candy would look like.
I wonder what the WP part of it would contribute. You know, wintergreen peppermint?
White
wintergreen
power.
Peppermint? What?
White.
You're just... Oh, racist jokes are funny.
They are.
A couple other things, just mentions about the podcast this week. They were kind of cool. On Twitter, we had John Michael Oswalt tweet out, actually not long ago, saying, listening to the WP Candy podcast, and based on the first few minutes, I'm really loving it. And then this part I actually don't understand. I'd be curious to find out what it means. He put in quotes then, little boy wants some candy.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I don't get it. I think there's a joke there. I think there's a joke in there, but I'm not following it.
Sounds creepy.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm glad he likes the podcast.
I'm glad he liked the first few minutes.
Well, at least the first few minutes.
Like right before everything before the intro music was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, everything, yeah, right before, even right before hitting play was fantastic. So I don't know, I actually don't know which one of the podcasts he's talking about there, but
it couldn't be the first one. Nobody would like the first one.
No, yeah, just skip over that entirely. And other people liked it, but that was really the only one worth mentioning. If you want to be mentioned on the podcast, you know, you can @reply us on Twitter, or much better and easier way to make sure that we see it, send an email to podcast@wpcandy.com, and we'll be happy to include it, as long as it's not candy tin spam, because we just had our fill of that.
Yeah.
Can't take any more of that.
We should start doing, we should start taking live calls.
Live calls, I think.
Live calls. So if you're up at 2 a.m. on Monday mornings, well, Tuesday yeah. mornings, Monday
it's
nights.
Tuesday, today. Yeah, today is Tuesday.
Tuesday, that's such a random day to be doing this.
It is, yeah.
So
we're still floating, still finding the exact right time to do all this. But definitely, I think at the point where we have a number of these down pat and we're just rolling them out and they're all good, you know, they're not crap like this one. once we can make it so that they're all solid and awesome, then we can maybe experiment with some live podcasting, even some call in stuff. I think that'd be cool.
That'd be great. Then people can see how. Don't know where I was going with that. Go on.
Oh, So next thing to get into are the WordPress picks. WordPress picks are where we highlight something useful that we've been using related to WordPress. It could be a blog, it could be a theme, it could be a book, it could be a plugin. It really could be anything because it's not incredibly difficult to tie pretty much anything into WordPress. So, JD, you want to kick us off with your WordPress pick this week?
I was going to say Gravity Forms, but now I don't think I will because I talked about it in the beginning. But
yeah,
Gravity Forms is great. It it makes forms easy. That wasn't an ad.
Somebody should be paying us now.
Yeah, every time I say
seeking
that,
out money.
I should
yeah.
be getting money.
I want a dollar.
So, since it's not going to be Gravity Forms, it's going to be something sort of related to WordPress. It's got a WordPress plugin, so it's completely related to WordPress. And that's Reinvigorate, which is I started running it on my site just because I found out it had live statistics and that those statistics could be.
Did it just launch recently?
I don't know. I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure how I found it. It's reinvigorate.net, which reinvigorate's not the easiest word to spell.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's when I found out that they can pump the analytics to your desktop, I had to check it out. And so far, it's done everything I want it to for free. And I would probably recommend it over Google Analytics. I actually have both running, though, Google Analytics and Reinvigorate. But if you haven't gotten it by now, it's an analytics company or service that it's got like heat maps and that kind of thing, which I don't think Google has. I think they have like a click map or something. And then it's got this an app for the Mac and for Windows that will show you when somebody's on your site, what page they're on, and what they're doing. And if right now I have a plugin in that replaces WordPress comments with Facebook comments because I want people to automatically share stuff. So it doesn't work so well, but on any other WordPress installation with regular WordPress comments, if anybody has commented on your site before, Reinvigorate will know that it's that person and actually like name them in the analytics.
Wow.
So it's really, it's like crack. I can't, I leave it open and like, there's like a hit every few seconds and it makes me happy. So in fact, you probably shouldn't use it. I don't recommend this.
because it's making you that,
For free. It's like, you only have to pay for it if you get more than 100,000 views, which I'm not going to get. So it's definitely worth it, assuming you want to waste a lot of time looking at analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
well, what would be interesting is and maybe this is how you could tie it into being more productive is sort of, I mean, I'm sure you've learned from using it now for at least a few days, different things you can do to improve your site to make it, I guess, more intuitive to the end user. I mean, does it help in any of those respects that you found?
Yeah, like with the heat map, I'm actually seeing where people are clicking on things that I never meant them to click on. And then I have to think of, I launched this Too Bad Eye little app project. And I noticed people kept clicking on the image, and I realized that they want a link to go back to the homepage of the Too Bad Eye app.
Yeah.
So now I have to, just to see that people are clicking on that, I have to do that. And then sometimes, like somebody... On my site, I have this illustration of me. It's got like a typewriter with letters coming out of it. And for some reason, people are clicking a P. And I don't know why exactly, but they are. And then, I don't know, it's just really cool to see. I've never actually seen a heat map because I'm too cheap to pay for the things that do that. So,
yeah,
it's great. I would probably say it's better than Google Analytics, but that's coming from somebody who doesn't actually know how to use Google Analytics. I just check out page views and visits. So
yeah, I would have to say, I mean, all of, you know, any analytics system, you know, there's going to be some margin for error. You know, it's not, people have to realize, you know, Google Analytics reporting numbers is not exact. It's approximate, you know,
one of the first things I do when I get a browser is I install the analytics opt-out thing that Google has.
Yeah.
So I mainly do it because I don't want to be picked up on the sites I own.
Yeah.
But then I'm not picked up anywhere, so.
Right.
Anyway, that's my pick. So, what is your pick?
Yeah, no, that's cool. I need to check it out because I think it'd be useful too, especially if there's no interferences to run both.
I haven't had any problems. Like I mean, nothing's come up, and I don't think that it's slowed down the site any. But my site's really minimal, so it's like all text. So
handy, yeah, definitely check it out. Just a second, yeah. So my pick is related to the move over of Theme Playground. Moved it over the weekend to get ready for this week to kind of say, hey, you know, all these posts are over, and highlight a few of them. And then when going through some of the posts, a couple people pointed out, hey, some of these images are broken. So the reason for that was that, I mean, everything was moved over. There's, you know, a copy of all of the images, and everything's correct in the new location. But WP Candy is on a WordPress multi-site install. It's actually the guruhq.com network is what we're a part of. So the multi-site setup actually handles the file structure a little bit differently than a standard single install of WordPress. So when you normally would find the location for all of your uploaded files in a WordPress install under wp-content/uploads and then the year and the month number. On a multi-site, it's a little bit more complicated because there are lots of different sites on one installation. So it's actually a slash blogs.dir directory slash the ID of the blog, slash the year and then the month. So it's a little bit now the blogs dir and the ID number of the blog aren't actually shown in the URL. It's all kind of capped by slash files. So what was happening, you know, kind of go all the way around there to come back to the problem, when all the files moved over, where and it was showing up okay sometimes because the caching was kind of working in my favor, I guess against my favor, because it took me longer to figure out what the issue was. The Theme Playground image URLs that were referenced throughout the posts were pointing to themeplayground.com/wp-content/uploads, followed by the rest of the, whereas the true location now was actually Theme Playground or WP Candy. I mean, that rewrite was taken care of. Was actually themeplayground.com/files/that. So I had an issue of a couple hundred posts, you know, a few images probably on average per post, and all of these URLs were now incorrect. So there's a nifty plugin. I've used it in the past, but just kind of, you know, it's one of those that you only really need to know about when you really need it. It's not something that I keep activated all the time or use that often, but it's really helpful in these cases. It's called Search and Replace. That's just what it's called. It should show up in a search. I'll put a link in the show notes. Search and Replace plugin, and what it does is it allows you to select all of the tables on all of the tables within your database, within your WordPress database, and say search within these for certain phrases, or in this case, the beginning of a URL, and replace it with this other, Search and Replace. Pretty simple. But the fact that it does it all pretty seamlessly, pretty quickly through your entire site, and just kind of works, is really helpful. And it made it so that I was able to clean up the vast majority of the image problems. There are still a couple that are creeping around, but definitely not as big of a deal, you know, for a huge site move like that, as it would have been if every single one of the images was broken. So Search and Replace. Remember it in case you run into a similar sort of problem, because that, definitely would have been annoying to have to go through myself and do that.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. You said when you described it earlier, I don't know, I didn't understand your problem. And like, what's it called? Search and Replace?
Search and Replace.
Like, is that something that is really helpful? Because I was imagining it like more on the front end. Or like in a browser where I'm like, well, why doesn't he just press Command F? And
yeah. Something, why do you need a plugin for that, yeah. Idiot? Yeah.
And I was the one who turned out to be the idiot. So,
yeah, well, yeah, it sounds, learn something every day.
That's something I'll have to remember, because I'm sure I'll screw something up like that. Because actually with the Too Bad Eye, I want to move to a multi-site setup. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll have to do something like that.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll have a nice nifty little guide to how to do that coming up on WP Candy soon that will help you make the transition into multi-site.
Awesome.
That would be great, wouldn't it? I'm just saying, you know, maybe if that were to happen at some point, that would be kind of
nice. That would, I think that everybody who's listening to this, all three people who are listening to this, would appreciate it.
There are at least four people listening.
Four people.
Don't degrade
so
this.
It would be like the three Elance commenters.
Oh,
and,
totally.
And somebody we don't know.
Yeah, and somebody giving candy to little boys. For some reason, you listen to our podcast, and that's what comes to mind. Hopefully we can find out maybe next week what that was about.
Yeah.
Mainly because I just feel dumb. I want to get the joke. I feel like I'm outside of the circle right now.
Yeah. What was the joke again? I just remember it was creepy.
Yeah. I'll have to link to it in the show notes now. Just to make sure that he gets his follows for us, talking about it so much. John Michael Oswald tweeted, "Listening to the WP Candy podcast and based on the first few minutes, I'm really loving it." And it follows that in quotes, "Little boy wants some candy."
Did we talk about that in the last?
No.
Are you sure? I thought, didn't Ashley say
didn't
something?
We? Oh, I don't know.
I remember we talked about something creepy.
Maybe we did.
Yeah, remember there's something about if they go to theme playground and there was a guy.
Oh, God. Okay.
A guy asking about candy.
Oh, well, I mean, I suppose what happens, I mean, every time after the podcast finishes, we all just black out and forget whatever we talked about on the previous show. So any sort
of
reference to that.
So, oh, man, now, okay, somebody's going to call us out on not getting the joke.
Yep. Now, we totally missed it.
Those people are going to, you should put this in the introduction since you recorded after. And be like, listen, we made a mistake in the middle, but we corrected it in the end.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
No way.
Fine. Then
I
hope we get emails.
I do, too. I welcome the angry fan emails over the crazy spam candy tin emails. I will take the angry fan emails. Please, send them.
Any emails. And more mentions.
Any emails.
I demand more mentions.
Yeah.
Mention me by name.
Mentions. Mm-hmm. All as well. I think that pretty much covers it. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Immel.
And me at JD Bentley.
Ah, we're picking up those cues. We're getting good.
That wasn't a cue. You just stopped.
I know. I just stopped. But that is a cue. That's a nonverbal cue. You just can't see the others.
You risked an awkward silence.
I dove into an awkward silence. I embraced them.
And I recovered us.
You did. You picked up the ball and you ran with it.
I did.
Same as you did with the little boy candy joke. I really recovered that one, too.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, boy. I'm just glad that as far as ongoing jokes, the first one that we have is a direct reference to pedophilia. I'm just glad that, that's sort of legacy we can begin.
WordPress, candy, playgrounds, children.
Oh, my. Yeah, I never really made the connection. All right, that's that's it for episode Trace, and we will be back next week. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Should I say bye?
No.